Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I am Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, my guest, Farida Bedwe, a software engineer, co-founder of a fintech company, Logiciel, and disability advocate, shares the excruciating pains people with disabilities go through when embarking on a tourism expedition. She believes when things are done with inclusion in mind, everyone wins.
All right, Farida, thank you for accepting to speak to us and on the Tourism Podcast. Can you tell me more about yourself?
Can you be a bit more specific as to what you want to know?
I mean, your own journey, you know, I know what I've read, you are a tech genius. I mean, you deal in tech also, in other social stuff, but exactly what you've been doing as a person, briefly.
I do a lot of things.
So let me know which ones that you want me to know.
Okay. I'm a software engineer.
Okay.
By profession, I'm currently a tech engineer. I co-founded a fintech company.
Okay.
Which brings a banking solution for the microfinance industry.
Wow.
So that is my day job.
Wow.
What business?
Okay.
On the other hand, I'm a disability rights advocate. I'm a writer. And
sounds interesting. And what is it? I mean, what is it like to be putting the two together?
Putting what together?
The advocacy and then your main job.
There are two separate parallel jobs. Okay. I mean, I don't combine them together. It's just that they both fight for my time, but obviously I have to prioritize my main job, which brings me the money, so to speak. Yeah, because I need to be able to do this before I can do advocacy. You need to do the money.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now let's get into the conversation, and I'll start with the one about the advocacy.
Yeah.
And if we look, of course, tourism is not mutually exclusive of the situation. Now, what I want to understand from you is the fact that how do you navigate the situation, especially in Africa, where sometimes we have the legal, the laws are there, but in terms of actuality, with people with disability don't get to have their say, if I want to put it that way.
Sometimes. All the time.
All the time. I mean, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I always use Ghana as an example. We passed the law in 2005. Up to now, it's still not being implemented. Buildings are still coming up without access. And it makes me wonder where priorities are. Because I always say, when things are done with inclusion in mind, everybody wins.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, you if you like, you have a staircase somewhere, have a ramp next to the staircase. You find everybody using the ramp as well. Because the ramps are easier to navigate than the staircase.
Yes.
So, in that case, I mean, it is a win-win situation. But as I always say, disability and most of these civil causes or whatever causes are not income generating. They don't generate income for the government. So obviously governments are looking at what will bring money rather than what will take out money. Because disability and other civil causes are rather expenditures rather than income generating stuff. So until Africa gets to a stage where we have governments which have enough money to be able to spend on some of these causes will always have this challenge of fighting for things that of fighting for rights.
Your basic rights.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, every government in Africa is struggling to balance their budget. They are still begging for aid and all those things.
So, okay.
Yeah. So I mean, when you understand it from that perspective, then it makes it a bit more tolerable. Because rather than thinking that the government is totally uncaring or whatever. I mean, sure, to an extent, there's a lot more they could do.
They could do.
Especially with regards to accessibility. I'm not making any excuses for them or anything. But then when you realize that a trend in developing countries, you have to ask yourself why. And that is the conclusion that I've come to.
Okay. Now let's get into the tourism space where I operate more. What are some of the challenges that you face or people like you face when you want to travel? Because yes, we have the laws, like you say, but realize that it comes to force when you go to a facility or you patronize any tourism plant. Then you can understand whether people really have those values as part of their offerings, or whether facilities and destinations really have disability or are disability friendly. If you want to travel, you want to go to a holiday.
We can do internal tourism or we can do external tourism.
Both of them. I mean, look, we can start a perspective from home and then we look at outbound or inbound, depending on how you look at it.
Okay, so I used to be on one of the government boards. I used to have to go on board retreats.
Okay.
And because the hotels outside Accra, most of the hotels outside Accra are not disability friendly. So it's always a challenge for them to find a disability friendly hotel. Because of me, and that is how bad it is. So in the end, we found one, and because of me, we could not rotate the hotels anymore. They had to stick to that one hotel because that was the only hotel within Beach which had the facilities necessary for me. So that is a typical example. I can't travel in Ghana freely because most of the hotels are not disability friendly. And even those who say they are, most of them, they do not understand what it takes to make a room disability friendly. Or what it takes to even make the entrance of the hotel disability friendly. People think it's just putting a ramp there. It goes way more than a lot more than a mere ramp. Most of the time, the tires are slippery. And for those of us who work, which practice working is slippery to floors are a nightmare for us. But when they are constructing their building, they are just looking at the beauty of the building. They are not looking at how practical it is. Sometimes you go to a hotel or to a public public office or to a public distance, they say that you are accessible, but there's always one step to enter the room, and you wonder that if you are accessible, how is somebody in a wheelchair supposed to access to get into the building before they can even access the accessible features within the room?
Wow. Now, with this experience, unpleasant experience, how then do you help us correct it in terms of what you think it can be done by the facilities? The law may be there, but if destinations or facilities are not implementing it, what are the low-hanging fruit that we may want to call it? Because we come to a hotel, you know that they are human beings, they are staff, they are people. What they need to understand?
So with regard to physical access, there's a concern from the people that or how to make their place socially accessible. With regard to social access, when I say social access, I mean the way people receive us.
Yes.
I've been in those situations where I've had to tell people off because of the way they talk down to me just because I have a disability. And most of these tourism sites and hotels and things, their staff haven't been trained on how to deal with people with disability.
Yeah.
So most of the time they are condescending, demeaning, and whatever. And they feel as if they are even doing you a favor by talking to you. And they don't understand why you should get incensed when they talk to you in a certain way which is not respectful.
Wow.
So a lot of education needs to go into the training of the staff. A lot of sensitization needs to be done in the tourism industry and with regards to people with disabilities in Africa. I mean, I remember there was one that even the terminology, people don't understand it. Because I remember there was one that I was invited to for a conference in Nigeria. And as it is with all African countries, when I am going any hotel, number one, I ask for a disabled room. Number two, I ask the pictures of the disabled room to be sent to me so that I make sure that it is really a disabled room. But I had that unpleasant experience during my first trip to South Africa. I assumed that South Africa being a second world country or whatever, they would know what a disabled room was. But I didn't ask for those things. I get there, and the definition of a disabled room is different from what
you understand.
From what I expected it to be. So I struggled during that trip because the bathroom wasn't accessible or anything. So since then, I said, any country I'm going in Africa, I'll make sure that the hotel send me pictures of the bathroom so that I will see what facilities they have. So I got my PA to get in touch with the hotel and find out whether they have a disabled room. In the first place, they did not understand what we're talking about. Until she described and described and described, then they said that, oh, a paraplegic room. So they called it a paraplegic room. But they didn't know that the standard term is disabled room. So somebody would go to your hotel and ask for a disabled room. And they'll tell me they don't have a disabled room. Meanwhile, they have a disabled room, but they are finding it
paraplegic. Wow. Now, there's an idea that, especially people in the tourism industry, where we believe that in order to not just people participating in the sector, there's also the point people have raised that can we get people to be part of it, the tourism sector, who have some form of disability, you know, in specific roles. You know, in some countries, there are people who are giving priority.
In terms of
work placements, in terms of within the jobs, yes. Like you're saying, you can go to attraction sites, and because the person don't have the luxury of moving around too much, is able to man a certain desk or something.
I think that would be great, but let's face it, we have a problem of lack of education in Africa. Among people with disabilities. People with disabilities in Africa are likely not being sent to schools. So you put out a job ad that people with disabilities are encouraged to apply for this position because they're given preference. You can't just get many people applying because there are not that many people who are qualified for that role. I'm hoping that maybe in the next generation, as parents of children with disabilities start seeing the need to educate their children,
okay,
things will change. But right now, I mean, what I just told you is a true example. There was a company who came from Germany. They wanted to set up a whole outsourcing center in Takoradi, and they wanted to employ people with disabilities. They couldn't get people with the skills that they wanted. Yeah.
But don't you think that it's because as a society as well, we've not empowered them enough to be able to, you know, participate? Because I remember sometimes in schools and, you know, in like you said, in different social system, people don't. They are not even given the opportunity to go to school and all of that.
Yes, so they're not given the opportunities to be educated, and if they're not given the opportunity to be educated, then from the world get go, you are being disadvantaged.
Okay, how then? Let me come to your own project of demystifying disabilities. I suppose that is one of the things that you want to use to address challenges like this.
Yes. So
tell me about.
So the idea is to hear from the host's own mouth.
Okay.
Because I mean, usually we have people speaking for us, but until you are in our situation, you don't know what you go through. You don't know what
is it about. It's so theory. Exactly. You just read about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So at least next time somebody with a disability talks about their experiences and people hear it, then they'll be able to better appreciate the challenges that we go through. And disability is such a broad question. There are lots of different disabilities in the world. And I cannot speak for people with hearing disabilities because I don't have a hearing disability. I can speak for people with visual disabilities because I don't have a visual disability. So that is the idea of a visual disability. So that people with those disabilities can speak for themselves and let us know what they go through. And you know, Africa is shrouded with all this superstition and all those things. So at least if you bring the conversation to a level where people realize that it's not a big deal to be visually impaired. Despite being visually impaired, I can still do ABC. The when somebody had a child who is visually impaired, the person will not panic and start saying, Ajay, what am I going to do? And the other.
Yeah.
So you are trying to normalize disability in our society. That's the whole essence of the show. Normalize it.
No, that's fine. In wrapping up, what would you say that tourism industry can do to make it, in fact, now we are building back to build back well?
In the first place, I didn't even get to talk about international travel because
you can talk about it. No, go ahead. No, go. We need to share experiences.
From the time you got to the airport.
Yes, I need that experience.
In the first place, you have to book a wheelchair. When you book the wheelchair, depending on the airline that you are going with, they may or may not be using the ambulance. You know what the ambulance is, don't you?
No, I know.
So it is a vehicle that has a ramp that goes from the ground to the plane, so you don't have to climb the plane.
Yeah.
And it costs $100 or $200 for the airline to use it. So that's about the disabilities. We need that service. Sometimes the airline will tell you that they are not paying for that. So if you want it, you have to pay for it yourself in addition to paying for your ticket. And that usually happens with the small airlines like Africa World and the local ones, who do not usually have people with disabilities traveling. But the big ones usually have those things in place as well. So those are some of the challenges that we have. No, when you get to the other end of your journey to
your destination.
Yes. You are usually the last person to leave the airport because of this reason. Sometimes you're on your plane for about an hour because the person who's supposed to bring the ambulance hasn't got it. You are sitting there waiting for somebody to bring the ambulance and take you out of the plane and all those things. But by that time, if everybody has left the plane, the cabin crew are cleaning and all those things, and you're still sitting there waiting for them to come. I remember I had that experience in Kenya. In the end, they apologized profusely and said, the ambulance is not coming. So do I mind if they carry me in the wheelchair down the stairs? It was a very dangerous thing, but I agree.
Option limited.
Because I was frustrated. I've been sitting there for almost 1 hour waiting for the ambulance to come. So those are some of the challenges that we have when we are traveling.
No. I'm very happy to listen to first-time experience about that, because a lot of these things we hear, we write about it, and it's not what you can hear from, like, in your own words, the horse's own mouth. And I'll be happy to be engaging you further, and some of our partners, you know, in Africa and around the world, for them to understand. Because I saw that in your last edition, you had a guy from Nigeria, who I was really, was it from Nigeria? Yes, was it Chris or something?
No, Chris is
Daniel. Yeah, no, it's this week's one that is Nigeria. Yeah, okay. So it tells you we are following also as well. Yeah. We are really following.
Yeah.
Farida, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right.